Thank you. I'll just start in prayer. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you, Father, that you speak to us. And we're just so willing to listen. Father, I ask that your voice become louder and louder, more clear and more distinct each and every day in each of our lives. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are there, that inner witness that we know we belong to our Father, and that, Lord, you desire for us to hear you. You desire to tell us the plans and purposes and the things that you have for us, the ways that we should go and what we should do and what we shouldn't do, so that our lives will be a total blessing. And I thank you, Father, for that. I thank you for your word this morning. May it just fill each of our hearts with more love and more compassion for you and for your people. In Jesus' name, amen. We talked about God's plan for our life so far. We've talked about a couple keys that hinder hearing God's voice. Then we talked about ways in which we hear God's voice. And one way was through the Word. Another way was through the advice of others. Some, the inner witness of the Spirit. But today we're going to talk about, Ray had something totally different planned, and at the last minute God changed it. So he has a tendency of doing that occasionally. But this morning it's going to be through prayer. I felt in my heart that God wanted to speak on prayer a little bit this morning, and why it's important that we set some time aside to pray and to listen for his voice. Too many of us are going our own way and we forget to have that quiet devotional time with God. You know, we live in a world now, it's just such hustle and bustle. Everything is so fast-paced. And you notice that? Everything's fast-paced. This is the microwave generation, too. Everybody's going faster. I mean, everything is happening so quickly before us. It seems like life is just going by before you know it, a year passed. And we need to learn how to slow down and allow ourselves to listen for the voice of God. And so the scripture that I want to take you to today is in Jeremiah. Let's go to Jeremiah 33. We're just going to read verse 1, 2, and 3. It says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison." So here we see Jeremiah's in prison, saying, "Thus says the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you know not." Now here we have that God is telling Jeremiah, just call to me and I will show you and I will talk to you and I will tell you great and wonderful things. God did the same thing. God wants friendships, and he wants to be able to share his heart with you. He wants to share things with you, just like he did with Abraham. He goes, I can't wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah until I talk to my friend about it. Abraham. Wouldn't that be wonderful if there was going to be some calamity that was going to happen in our area, and God says, well, you know, I can't do this until I talk to my friend first. You know, put your name in there. I want to make sure they know this is what I'm going to do so they can prepare. I mean, isn't that what we would love, the God of heaven, to be able to share those things with us? And so, but this is his purpose. He wants to do this. We just not in tune to hearing him real well, and I think part of the time is that we don't slow down enough to talk to him. We're always on the go and on the run. And I agree. I mean, when I'm going, I still want to talk to him. I want him to talk to me. But there's a time where I think we have to get real silent. We have to get silent. We forget to kneel anymore. We forget to kneel and pray and have that quiet time when nobody else is around. Some of us, you know, maybe it's so hectic that we'll have to have it in the middle of the night sometime. A lot of times, that's my time, is in the middle of the night. But here was Jeremiah, and he's shut up in prison. You know why? Because he was proclaiming that Babylon was going to come and capture Judah. And so what he was claiming was politically incorrect. So they threw him into prison for it. And so here he is kind of in prison, like, God, you know, I'm just doing what you're telling me to do, and this is what I'm getting for it. They throw me in prison. And so Jeremiah needed to know that God heard him, that God was going to talk to him, and that he would hear God, and God would explain some things to him. I mean, he needed to know and be reassured. Don't you need to be reassured sometimes? We need to be reassured from people, the people that we love them and we care about them. We need that reassurance. Well, Jeremiah here needed reassurance from God, that's saying, I did hear you, right? Because I'm in prison because I said what you asked me to say, and warning these people that if they stay in disobedience and they don't start obeying, that they're going to be captured and they're going to be drawn off to Babylon. And so I think that God wants to pour out his heart, and he promises when we speak that he will listen. That's a promise. He said he would. He said he'll never leave us or forsake us. He's there with us all the time. It's just that we're not kind of in tune to hear him because of all the busyness with us. It's a prayer, I say, is a dialogue, not a monologue. Now, of course, a dialogue is a two-way conversation. A monologue is a one-way conversation. A lot of us have one-way conversations. We're up and out. Okay, God, I need this and this and this and this. Help so-and-so. And we get all our requests be known. I say, well, I did read the word a little bit, made my request, and out the door I was. We never gave God a chance to speak back. And that is one of the areas that people are falling short on. We're cutting our prayer life too quick, too short, and we can't hear what God says. And I'm going to give you an example of that in the end. It would just happen just to me. And God has a tendency of doing these things just last night to me. And so I'm going to share so you can understand how God works, and that he's, what I'm saying here is truth and what he wants, because he confirmed that last night just even through me. And so God not only speaks to us, he also listens. He listens carefully and thoroughly. You know, most people won't listen. I'm that way. I mean, somebody might be saying something to me, and I'm off in la-la land thinking about something else. Or they made a statement to me, or I'm not interested, and I'm like, yeah. You know, you nod your head, but you're really not listening. Have you ever been there? I'm sorry, I confess, I've been there. You know, you get some people just rattle on and on and on, and it's like, and so I am guilty of that. But our Father's not guilty of that. He listens very thoroughly. When you speak to him, he does listen. He's catching every word that you're saying. In fact, not only is he catching your word, he's catching your heart. He can look into your heart and see what the real issues are. And he wants to talk to you about them. And so one of the primary ways God speaks is through prayer. See, we pray, he listens, then we listen, he speaks. And that's the way it's supposed to be. And we pray, and he listens, and then we cut it off. We forget to listen. And then we never hear his voice. And we wonder, why not? And that's why God was saying, I want you to do prayer, because I had been praying and fasting. And this is what he brought up to me. He goes, yeah, Jenny, not enough people are praying and fasting. You know, fasting helps you to open up, get the wax out of your ears to hear God more clearly, because you're not dealing with food and other issues. You're in prayer and fasting. And so that opens up the channel to hear God's voice a lot clearer. And so prayer was so vital that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray in Luke 11:1. He said, teach us how to pray. And then what did the Father do? Jesus do? He taught them how to pray to the Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he went and taught them the protocol on how to pray properly to the Father. And Jesus spent a lot of time in prayer, a lot of time in prayer. He was alone a lot with his Father. And we find that in Scripture. And so when we look at Jesus and his prayer life, it was his power source. That's obvious. I mean, he was very powerful. He did supernatural acts. So you look and say, how did he was able to do these supernatural acts? It's because he spent time alone in prayer. He was praying to his Father, and he was listening. Because remember, he would say things like, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only say what I hear the Father say. Well, how can he see what God was doing and hear what God was saying if he wasn't quiet before God and watching with the eyes of his spirit or hearing with the ears of his spirit for his Father? He had to do that. There's a stillness. There's power in stillness. It draws in the Lord, and you're able to hear him in quietness. And I think that's why I go around and I see a lot of kids constantly having earphones on their heads, going around. If they're not watching TV or a movie, they got earphones. And then a lot of them go to sleep listening to the rap or music and whatever as they fall asleep. Yet God even wants to talk to the kids. But they don't give God enough time to speak to them because they're always, their ears are out there into the things of the world. And they even need to slow down, stop, and just be quiet before God and let God, because God wants to speak to the children. He does. I mean, their ears would be easier to hear the voice of God than ours because they're so innocent still. They haven't been corrupted and they haven't been trained by the God of this world as long. And so they can hear God. So what is the enemy trying to do? He's trying to keep the kids from hearing his voice because they can be powerful. Because their faith, God says, the faith of a little child, you know, accomplishes much. You know, that's why he wants us to be like little children. Because our faith, when we ask mommy and daddy, you know, something, we believe that what they say is the truth. We believe our daddies can do anything. They're Superman, you know. I still look at my husband that way. And I'm amazed when he comes back, he says, he doesn't know the answer to that. And I said, you don't, you know. And so, but that's how children are. And that's why God says we need to be like children. And so the enemy wants to take that away. So in Luke, let's go over to Luke 18:1. I'm going to kind of bring you through some steps of things that God showed me so that you'll understand the importance of this. In Luke 18:1, Jesus was disciplined in his prayer life, and you'll never catch him not praying hardly. You know, I mean, I think he was in a continuous prayer, but this is what he said. And he spoke a parable to them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And so here you see he was in constant communion. He didn't limit his praying time to just crises situations or when it was convenient. He was saying here is that men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to lose heart, in other words. Continue to pray. Always be praying. And I think of the Lord, I don't know that he was in a crisis all the time, but there were some times when there was crisis situations. There were people coming to him left and right on every, they needed healing, they wanted to be fed, all kind. And then the Pharisees coming and giving him a hard time. So he had to have a really prayed up prayer life. I mean, he even started his ministry by going out into the desert to pray and fast for 40 days. And then God launched him into his ministry. So if Jesus, to combat the enemy, needed to pray and fast, we do too. It's the only way to hear the voice of the Father very clear. Jesus knew what to do next because he prayed and asked the Father, and the Father told him clear instructions. And so it doesn't matter whether you're tired or rested, hungry or even satisfied. You need to pray because Jesus did, and it was important. You must take the time to pray. Now, let's go over to Mark 1:35. I'm going to show you how busy Jesus was. This is, I think, in all of the scripture, this is the busiest day of Jesus' life that has been recorded. I'm sure his days were much like this all the time. But in Mark, you start with verse 14, and you see here that it says, now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. So there we see him preaching. Then you go down to verse 16, and it says, now as he walked by the sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And then he said to them, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. So now he's recruiting his team. Same day. He's preaching, and now he's recruiting his team. Then you go on to 22, and it says, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as scribes. So now we see he's doing some teaching, too. So he's doing preaching, recruiting, now teaching. Now let's go down to verse 25. And Jesus rebuked him, these are demons, saying, hold your peace and come out of him. So now we see that he's rebuking demons. Then you go down to verse 30. He comes out of the synagogue after casting out the devil. He goes to the house of Simon, well, actually Peter, and he finds Peter's mother-in-law sick with a fever. So what does he do? He heals her. So now he's doing some healing. And then you go on to verse 32, and in the evening when the sun did set, they brought to him all that were diseased and all that were oppressed with devils. So he was busy. He was doing a lot that day, he's preaching, teaching, recruiting his team, his apostles. Then he was healing everybody that was sick. And I'm sure when he went to bed that night, he was really tired. He was really tired. And then you go to verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. You know what? I don't care how busy your day was before. You know, you need to get a time schedule to pray, because Jesus did. It was important to him. I mean, that would have been a day I would have thought, after that whole day and everything that he did, he deserved to sleep in, don't you think? To pray, to heal all that were sick and oppressed of the devils and all. I mean, I had surely went into the night, because everybody, once his name started going, all you have to do is one miracle and somebody hears it, man, you'd be having everybody at your doorstep. And that's who he was. Everybody was coming to Peter's house. And when you come to somebody's house, you know, it's usually an open invitation. You don't force somebody to leave. You don't say, hey, I want to go to sleep. Please leave. You know, most people are not that rude. And so these people, they hear that, they're going to stay. And I'm sure it was a late night for him. And so, pardon me?
Not an all-nighter.
Yeah, it could have been an all-nighter. But yet, he still got up in the morning. And I looked up that great while before day, and that was really early in the morning. I mean, I don't know. My guess was 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning is probably when he got up. Because the day usually starts about 6 or 7 for most people. So he got away before then so he could pray. And then, of course, I'm sure that news really got around that he cast out devils and he healed, et cetera, et cetera. His next day was probably no different than the following day. You know, because when news gets out like that, you are bombarded with people. And so God, what does God communicate to us in prayer? Some of the things he communicates is guidance. Let's go over to Luke 6. We need his guidance. Luke 6, let's go to verse 12 and 13. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called to him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. So here, he was all night in prayer. Then he had the guidance of the Father, and then he went out and did what the Father had told him. He had his guidance. This was an important thing. He had to choose his 12 disciples. And so he was out all night. Not part of the night. It was all night. Have you all ever prayed all night through, all the way to the next morning? And then you don't go to sleep. You just get out and then you start working. I've been there. Sometimes it's tough the next day to do that. But somehow you get divine strength to go. You do. I don't understand it, but you might sleep really good the next night. But you have an amazing energy that you wouldn't have had otherwise. But God, if God has called you to pray and do an all-nighter, you will have that divine strength that you need the next day to do what God has called you to do. And you're going to walk in everything. You're going to get things accomplished that you never would have thought you could accomplish. And because you need to hear God's voice very, very clearly in your guidance. And James 4, it says that he... Actually, let's go there. Let's just read that. James 4, 13. It says, Go to now... You that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And so, what is God saying here is, you know, he's not saying you can't be a person and go out and do the things you need to get done. But God is saying, don't forget him. Who is the one that we're supposed to go to and say, how do you feel about this, Father? I'd like, these are what I planned, and, you know, I would like to do this and this. But God was saying, if it be my will, what is his will? You need to find out his will is every single day. What, God, do you want me to be doing today? I believe God will give us very specific details throughout the day of what he does and does not want us to do, and where he wants us to go, who he wants us to talk to. And of course, in the communion that you have on a regular basis, he'll constantly be putting things in throughout the day too. Don't forget this, don't go do that, etc., etc. And so we can't, if you don't get God's guidance before you launch out in your day, we can make some mistakes, make some big mistakes, some major mistakes. Have you ever made some major mistakes and you wish, gosh, I wish I had heard God's voice on this. I would have loved to avoid this. I have. I mean, both hands up. I've done it. In Joshua 9, when they were going and taking all the land, the land of Canaan, there was a group of people called the Gibeons, the Gibeonites, that they saw, they heard that God said, wipe everybody out. So they pretended they weren't part of the land. And they pretended they were, you know, just foreigners coming. And they made a covenant with Joshua. And I'll tell you what, the Israelites regretted that, to find out that this was one of the lands that they couldn't conquer. They could not go in and take that land. So they lost out because they did not consult God on it first. They just forged ahead. I've done that. I've done that with business ventures. I forged ahead and thought, well, this would be a good thing, or make an investment in something before consulting the Lord and saying, well, Lord, I'm going to do this. Please bless it. God's not God. What God wants, suppose God said, how can I bless it? I don't want you to do that. That will not bring you a blessing. You should not do that. But we do it. We make our plans, and then we ask God, we go to God and say, now bless our plans, God. God can't bless our plans. He blesses His plans. So what we have to do is find out what His plans are and go and do His plans, because they're the ultimate blessing, because that's that perfect will that we're in. And He will give us that wisdom. James, in the first chapter of James, he said, ask for my wisdom and I will give it liberally. I'll not hold any of it back. I'm a talking God. I'm full of wisdom. I want to blurt out wisdom to you. So just ask me and I will give it to you. And that's a promise. He says, He promises He will do that. But how can we hear if we're not being silent before Him and allowing Him to speak to us? Sometimes you may have to stay there a whole hour and be silent. Maybe it's just a couple minutes. You don't know. Some of us, for me now, last night it was a matter of 2 minutes before the Lord started saying some things to me. But I can remember laying there for, what I would do is I would read the scriptures. And Doug thought it was always funny because he always thought I'd fall asleep after the scriptures, because I would read the scriptures and then I would lay back on my couch and I'd close my eyes and I would just look like I was sleeping. And he thought I was taking naps. And I said, no, I am listening for the voice of God. What I just read in the scripture, God wants to speak something to me and I want to know what I'm supposed to do for the day. And so I would get up early, and then he would come over into my office and he'd see me laying there before he goes to work. And he goes, you going back to sleep? And I said, no. I'm hearing God's voice. I'm hearing my Father's voice. He's speaking to me. And so it's important that you take that time. But some of you, you're out the door by 7 o'clock in the morning because you have to go to work. Well, either you do something like that before you go to bed at night, turn off the TV an hour early, get in, read the word a little bit and lay there and let God speak to you before you really go to sleep. and do that, or else you need to get up a little early and do it. I mean, it's really important. Honestly, it really is. Prayer should not be your last resort when you need advice. You know what? I'll tell you what. When I need advice, I'm calling my girlfriend. Or I'll talk to Doug. Or I'll make a comment to Vanita since she's with us. And it's like, wait a minute. What is wrong with this picture? I am supposed to be going to my Father about this. And I wanted to make a decision about doing something in October, and I would just fret, I don't know if I should do this. And, you know, I tell Vanita and I tell Doug, and the Lord finally grabbed my attention. He says, why don't you just pray and fast and ask me? And I'll tell you what, that's why I went on to the fast, and I prayed, and I had such peace that day. It was peace that just, it was so overwhelming that whether I did it or I didn't, I was okay. I mean, I knew that God was in control and He was going to do and either close doors or open doors. He confirmed that in my heart. And He said, Ginny, don't worry about it. Don't be concerned. Don't be anxious. I've got it under control. And I had such a peace that it was amazing. And so that's one of the things that God will give you when you speak to Him. He'll give you peace in an area, whether you should or you shouldn't do something. Worry will always hinder God's voice. Worry, let me say it again. Worry and anxiety will hinder your hearing God's voice. And so it's important that you make sure that you always have the peace in your heart. And you'll get that by just being still before God. Let Him speak to you. He'll put at ease your heart. And I think everything will be wonderful. Corey, I wrote this down. I think you have it in your notes. Corey Ten Boom once observed, she said, "Worry doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It empties today of its strength." Think about that one. That was a really good one. And in Philippians, go over to Philippians 4:6. That is EPC, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 4:6. The Lord says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now here we see, you know who wrote this? Paul wrote this. Do you know where he was? He was in prison. He was in prison when he wrote this. He was in chains. He had a reputation that it was being slandered. He had a church that was being invaded by false prophets and false teachers. He was waiting for a verdict that would determine whether he lived or died. And here he is, he's saying, "Be careful for nothing, but just pray, and God's peace would overcome you. It will just overcome you." So when you decide to pray instead of worry, you activate Philippians 4:7 on your behalf. When you decide to pray instead, you'll have that peace that you need in your heart. But remember, prayer is two-way. You all been cut. I'm just saying this because this is what I did. And if I'm doing it, I'm sure you probably have done it once or twice yourself. Where we cut God off and we don't stay silent and listen to Him. If you do nothing else today, when you go home, this is the one thing I want you to do, is when you read the Word and you pray and let your request be known before God, that you stop, and before you run out the door, you're silent. And if you can only do it for 5 minutes, fine. Do it for 5 minutes and work up. But it'd be wonderful if you can go for an hour. Boy, God can tell you a lot in an hour. He really can. But He says here, it will guard your heart. The peace of God will guard your heart and your mind. Here Paul is, and he's seeing all these guards, these Roman guards, his soldiers, standing with all their array, their beautiful uniform on, with the swords and the shields and everything. And that's what he likened it to. The peace of God will be like that soldier that is standing there guarding you against the enemy. And that's what he's saying. And another thing that the voice of God will tell you is His desires. See, God desires some things. And one of them, let's go to Nehemiah. Nehemiah is sort of in the front, like after Chronicles, I think. Yeah. Nehemiah, let's go to Nehemiah 2. Now, in all of chapter 1 and 2, we see Nehemiah. He's getting this heart that he wants to go back and build the walls of Jerusalem. They have been in captivity. This is the last captivity. He should have been at the end of the book of the New Testament, right before Malachi, because he was one of the prophets that came out of Babylon to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And so he had this in his heart. Now let's go to 2:12. It says, "And I rose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon." Here we see that the point I wanted to make here is that God had put in his heart to do something with Jerusalem, to build the walls of Jerusalem. And the only way God could have put that in his heart is if he spent time with God. So a lot of times, the things that are in your heart to do, God has put them there. God has put them there. And especially, it's a good thing. Anything, usually good things, God puts there. But, you have to get even specifics. He needed to know the specifics. Okay, now, God, you put this in my heart. Now, exactly how do you want me to do this? I have to tell this guy that I think he was a cupbearer too. I have to tell him and explain all this to him. How am I going to approach him? I mean, all these things Nehemiah had to do with precision, because at any time, this guy who he was his boss could have said no. So God put this in his heart, and he decided he had to be very careful. Now, go to, because in 2:8, I think it was 2:8, he says, in a letter to Astheth, the keeper of the king's forest, that he might give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which pertained to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. So here we see that the king wanted to help Nehemiah. He wanted to do this. And so he received what he asked for. God put it in his heart. He heard God. He knew specifics. And God gave him what he wanted. The same with Cornelius. Cornelius prayed. He prayed, and in the time that the angel came to him, he was practicing. He was I think he was probably Italian centurion or something, but he was practicing the Jewish faith. And so he was praying and sending alms. His giving was seen by God, but he was fasting for 4 days because he wanted to know truth. And an angel showed up at his doorstep and said, go ask for Peter. Call Peter. He has truth to tell you. And so, see, God had a desire and a purpose for Cornelius, but he wanted him to know truth. And so God is going to go to the ends of the earth to, you know, I don't think that angel would have showed up if he wasn't in prayer and fasting. You know, angels do show up and give you messages, believe it or not. They do that today. And they still do that today. The Bible says it in the New Testament. This isn't, you know, with Cornelius, that's in the New Testament. That's in Acts. Acts 10. That's one of those miraculous things in Acts I've been talking about. And so Acts 12, also, Peter in prison, rescued by the angel. You know why? Because it says, prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. It was God's purpose for Peter to get released. So an angel came and rescued him because prayer went up. That was God's purpose. And that's what they prayed for, and that's what they got. And it says in James 5:16-18, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So it's the Father's heart to heal. So when we spend time in prayer, God will show us what he wants you to do as far as the healing and who to go pray for. And just like he did with me, with the dream with Ryan. He showed me a prophetic dream of me going to Ryan. And I'm going to share something with you. 3 weeks I hadn't seen him because I had my grandchildren over. And the one night I was finally going to go over, you know, I had him calm enough that I thought, oh, I can trust him to go over there. They got in a, you know, those two little girls, they got in a fight where they were yelling, they pulling each other's hair till they both got headaches and started throwing up. I mean, I'm like, oh my goodness. So I didn't end up going to church that night. And so I didn't go to see Ryan. Well, it ended up being 3 weeks. I went back this past Wednesday. He was so down in the dumps that he was taking a nosedive. He was taking a nosedive to the point where he didn't want to even get in the wheelchair anymore. He was got to the point where he can now, because he was totally numb before I started praying for him. Now he got to the point where he was able to be in a wheelchair for 4 hours. And he's been off the respirator for an hour or so at a time. And then all of a sudden he just went downhill. And I realized that, you know, God gave me something to do. It's his will to totally heal Ryan. But guess who he's using? Right now, for some reason, he wants me to go and pray weekly for him. And when I neglect to do that, his will and purpose for Ryan is being stopped. And so I know in my heart that I have to be doing that. It's God's will and it's God's purpose. So he gives me that, and I have a heart to go. It's just, you know, sometimes things happen, you can't get over there. But I saw what happened when I didn't do God's will. You know, he went backwards. Now to the point where he doesn't even want to get in the wheelchair anymore. He's, you know, he's so depressed. And Leah, my girlfriend, who is the nurse, called me the next day, and she goes, he is up high again. It was like, all of a sudden, it says he just took a reversal the minute you showed up. Isn't that amazing? Because that was what God's perfect will for him, and he showed that to me. And every week, he says, I want you to do this. And he presses that upon my heart. And when I do it, everybody's blessed. So I want to ask you a question. Do you make time in your daily schedule to allow God to speak to you? I'm not talking about reading the Bible. That is vital, and it's important, and that's one of the things, the first things I do. And I'm not talking about bringing up your needs and your concerns. What I'm talking about is just kneeling before him in silence and asking him to tell you his concerns. What is your concern, Lord? What is it maybe that I could be doing to help you? Speak to me. Tell me how you're feeling. You know, we tell that to our friends, don't we? You know, how are you feeling today? Do we ever ask God that? We always say, well, he's doing fine. He's God. But see, God wants us to ask him those questions. He wants to tell us what's on his heart. But he's not going to do that if we're not going to even ask him or want to give him the time of day to listen to his voice. So we need to allow him to speak on some of these issues. And some of the issues, I think, the best thing I think to do is when we start doing this and you all of a sudden you be quiet and you're silent, and you say, well, I can't just be silent, especially us women, our minds go mild a minute. What you want to start doing is allow the Holy Spirit to spotlight and shine his light on some areas in your life that might be sin. So ask the Lord, Lord, is there any sin in my life? Show it to me. I want to stand right before you. I know I am righteous before you, but I want to walk in righteousness too. I want to walk it out. Shine your light in areas that I am dark in, that I need your spotlight of the Holy Spirit in. And you'll find that in Psalm 139. So let's go over to 139. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, what I would recommend is that you highlight that, put it down on a piece of paper, and speak that to him, and then wait. And listen, and let him show you. God speaks in pictures. He's going to start showing you pictures. He might bring up a person immediately. And you know, or a situation, or an action that you did that day. And so, confess it. Then go to the next one and ask the Lord, Lord, have I had any unforgiveness in my heart towards anyone? Because the Lord says that, let's see what he has to say. Let's go to Matthew 5. Might as well just see it in the Word. Matthew 5, let's go to verse 23. 5:23. But it says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has anything against you, leave there your gift before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. So now we see here that we might ask, Lord, is there anybody that I need to forgive? And all of a sudden, there's that person right in front of you. Or suppose you don't even ask them. And all of a sudden, you keep seeing this person's face as you're trying to listen for God. And you're like, get that picture out of the way. I am trying to hear God. But what God is trying to say, look, get a clue. Why is this picture coming up of this person? You have some animosity against this person. You need to deal with this. This is putting wax in your ear to hear my voice. You need to deal with it and get it taken care of. So God is always, he wants you to hear his voice. So he's going to bring things up and show you those things. Because we want to make every wrong right in order to hear God's voice. Number 3, ask him if there's anything that he's asked you to do that you have not done. He'll ask you to do things, and if you've not done it, that'll deafen your ear to him. You'll not hear his voice. And so here in Psalm 119, if you haven't read Psalm 119 all the way through, I would encourage you to do that. It's about the Word of God. It's so awesome. 119, verse 34 and 35. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of your commands, for therein do I delight. So here, we see here the purpose of divine revelation is obedience. The Lord gives his commands, and we need to have the understanding, and we need to obey them. You know, even when I prepare these lessons, I need to be hearing God's voice even for my own life, and I need to be obeying them. I'm not doing this to make myself look good. I mean, I'm not up here trying to make you impressed with my teaching skills, because that's not my heart, and that should not be my heart. If it is, I need to step down. What I'm here is because God has asked me to teach, and that's a command of his, and I need to obey it. If I want to continue to hear his voice, I need to step out and do everything that he's called me to do. It's very uncomfortable. Do you know, I fretted. I have not slept but maybe an hour last night. I finally fell asleep at about 4:30 or 5 o'clock and then I had to get up at 6 because I had to do the offering this morning. And even though I did that whole skit in here, I knew that it was an opportunity for God to speak to the whole congregation and to give them some areas that they need to bring some light into their heart. And it's like, God, it's not that I didn't want to do it, but I was a little nervous, you know, it's because God's word is so precious. And the heart of the Father, I have to make sure I am portraying the heart of my Father accurately because it's for everybody to hear. And if I am wrong, I've just portrayed my Father wrong. And I don't know if there's consequences for that, but there could be. And I fear God enough that I want to make sure that I do the right thing. And so I'm not up here to, you know, to show all my wonderful skills that I have. You know, I look at myself and I'm like, why did you pick me? I honestly do. It's like, there's times when I go around she can confirm this. I go around and I'm like, why did God pick me? I don't know. There's got to be something easier to do. You know, this is scary sometimes. It is. And so prayer is us speaking to God and God speaking to us to give us guidance for our daily affairs. And God has an opinion. And guess what? His opinion is worth more than anybody else's opinion. And in the process of that opinion, you'll have success. And you'll have peace. And also that peace will keep you healthy. You know, you can get sick when you're constantly worried and anxious. That brings sickness into your body. And so prayer is ultimately aligning your will with God's will, your desires with his desires, and submitting yourself to his sovereign plan, which brings supernatural peace. So I have a question here for you. Why aren't more people praying and listening for God's voice, who is the supreme ruler of the universe, since he has promised to communicate with us if we do? I got a book from Desiring God by John Piper, and I'm going to read this to you. This is what he said. Unless I'm badly mistaken, one of the main reasons why so many of God's children don't have a significant prayer life is not so much that we don't want to, but it's that we don't plan to. If you want to take a 4-week vacation, you don't just get up one summer morning and say, hey, let's go today. You won't have anything ready. You won't know where to go. Nothing has been planned. But that is how many of us treat prayer. We get up day after day and realize that significant times of prayer should be part of our life, but nothing is ever ready. We don't know where to go. Nothing has been planned. No time, no place, no procedure. And we know that the opposite of planning is not a wonderful flow of deep, spontaneous experiences in prayer. The opposite of planning is the rut. If you don't plan a vacation, you'll probably end up staying home and watching TV. The natural, unplanned flow of spiritual life sinks to the lowest ebb of vitality. There is a race to be won and a fight to be fought. If you want renewal in your life of prayer, you must plan to see it. So you have to find time with God. You have to find it. You have to make a decision. You have to set a specific time to listen to him. I'm going to take you to just a few scriptures in the New Testament. Go to Luke 9. I'm going to show you when Jesus prayed. So, you know, some I've heard, well, you should pray only in the morning. Only in the morning. That's the best time, beginning of the day. And I felt so guilty because a lot of times I pray most of the time at night. So here's 9. I don't know where, let's see if I could find where it was. In verse 9 somewhere, he actually prayed. He withdrew, I think it was, into the mountains. And he prayed. I'm trying to think of where it's at. Because I did not highlight it. I just put 9. But anyway, what he said is he prayed late at night. So in Luke 9, it's late at night. Is it 28? 9:28? Gosh, I should have... So I highlighted them in my other Bible, but they're not in this one highlighted, so I don't know exactly where it's at. But it's in 9. In Luke 9, he did late at night. After the day was up, it was late at night. Now, Mark 1, it was actually early in the morning. In the morning. And in Luke 5, guess what? It was midday. It was mid... Could you imagine Jesus praying in the middle of the day? Yes, he prayed all the time. It didn't matter where. And so that was his time frame. Now, he always found a quiet place. Now, in Luke 5, he withdrew into the wilderness. In Mark 1, he departed into a solitary place. We read that one. And in Luke 9, he went into the mountains. That was the 928, I think. Yeah, he went into mountains to pray. Luke 9:28. And so, it doesn't matter where you go, whether it's your solitary place, your bedroom, your office, wherever. You decide, I want to take a little trip, go up into the mountains, walk, take a nice walk. How about just going into the wilderness, in the woods, whatever. You know, it doesn't matter. Ghosts, but you have to be alone. You need solitary time. You need to be alone with God. And you have to have, I would recommend, your Bible. I would recommend a notepad and a pen. You have to record what God is saying to you. Journal. God can tell you're serious with Him by your attentiveness to record what His instructions, impressions, guidance, and desires are for us. See, God knows you're serious if you're ready to write it down. I'm ready. I'm listening, Lord. Now tell me, what do you want me to do? How do you feel about this? What, you know, just speak to me. Like, even if it's just giving me a scripture. See, these are tools, very important tools to hearing the Master's voice. They really are. You need to have those, and then you need to be quiet. We have a tendency to forget about the things God has spoken to us if we don't record them. Okay? Last night, I decided about midnight to pray. So I read the Word a little bit, and then I got on my knees, and I just started praying, and it was dark in the room, a little light on, but mainly dark, and I just started hearing Him, and He started speaking to me about faithfulness. About being faithful, what I've called you to do. And I said, okay, God, I'll be faithful. And I start, but first I started praying. I said, I didn't know what to say. And I asked Him to forgive me my sins. Is there anything I needed to deal with? And then I just started praying the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. And when I finished that, He was talking to me about faithfulness. And then He said, He told me, I want you to write a letter to Samoa, to the pastors out there. And I'm like, okay. You know, and I said, are you sure that's, is that me? Is that me? Is that God? I said, well, I'll do that. You know, I'll do that. And I thought about a song that I loved when we were there. And I had written it down in my notes, these little guys that I have right here. So I went back into it, and I read it, and it's right there. And as I sang the song, I looked over to this side, and here was a song that said, Hallowed Be Thy Name. And it's like, oh, you just gave me the impression to pray the Lord's Prayer, Hallowed Be Thy Name. And here it is in the song. And basically, this was a song about the Lord's Prayer. And I thought, hey, that was a confirmation, wasn't it? And then He starts speaking to me. He says, you need to run this transparency out for a pastor. Not our pastor, somebody else. And so I said, is this God? You know, do you want me to do this? You know, and I said, okay. But I had to get it on the internet. Not on the internet, on my computer. And I shut down my computer. I said, okay, I got up off the floor. I went to the computer, turned it on. And I have these things where a little verse will pop up. And this is the verse that popped up. And that's why God had me go to the computer. Matthew 28:20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. See, I was asking God about teaching. Saying, this is what you mean. He told me to be faithful in my teaching. And then what He does, He pops up that scripture. See what I'm saying? You get these impressions, these little impressions in prayer, and you just follow through on them. That verse was a confirmation of what I was saying when He was saying, be faithful, Ginny. And then He had me look right to this verse right before it, and it says, go therefore and teach all nations. And see, He had just asked me to write to Samoa, because that's where my heart is right now. So I believe that's the heart of the Father. So I think He wants me to go there. So I think that's why He wanted me to write. You see how He kind of meshes it all together? I just given you one example, just recent, so you can get an idea how God speaks. But I had to be silent. I didn't cut none of that if I went off to bed after I read my Bible. If I didn't get on the floor, on my knees, and pray, and be silent before Him, He would have never spoken any of that stuff to me. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, that's how He does it, guys. That's how He does it. And so we need to be faithful. Father, I thank you for your word today. Your word is wonderful. Your voice is wonderful. Oh, Father, that each one of us would spend more time on our knees in silence before you, just listening for your voice. Boy, I can't think of a better voice to hear than your voice, the voice of Almighty God, the maker of the whole universe. You have an ear that your thoughts towards us are so wonderful, and you want to express those things to us. You want to tell us things to come. You want to share your heart with us, Father. Oh God, help us to be silent. Quicken us. Show us that we need to get down on our knees and just be silent before you and listen for your voice so you can commune with us and tell us your deepest, darkest secrets. And I just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.